Thank you.
That's true. I can verify. If I could have my colleagues return to the council chambers, that would be great. And if folks could take their seats, and we will push forward with our agenda. All right. So this... There we go. Can you please read the title? It's a report contained in item number 1366.
Mm-hmm. Report presented by the Portland Rose Festival Foundation on the 2012 Portland Rose Festival Economic Impact to the City of Portland.
Commissioner Randy Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams and colleagues. I don't ask for a lot of presentations. Haven't since I've been on council. But I asked before I left office that Jeff put together a presentation so we could bring council up to date as to the status of the Rose Festival in late 2012 and where it sits in the city's various activities and entertainment venues. But first, I want to make sure the council understands how we got here. About 5 years ago, Jeff Curtis, the executive director of the Rose Festival, came to me as the liaison. I've been appointed by the last couple of mayors to be liaison to the Rose Festival, and gave me a very unsettling report about the state of the Rose Festival financially. And at that time, in that report, just to cut to the chase, it became clear to me that the Rose Festival, and it was clear to Jeff, was annually losing money, and that they had gotten to the point that their reserve funds were precipitously low, and that, in fact, in future events, they would need to draw, based on their historical performance, on those reserves even more. And there have been more than one night that I've gone home from here and tossed and turned and not slept, and that was one of them. Because being the political person that I am, as much as I love the Rose Festival, and being a lifelong Portlander, I've gone to Rose Festival's parades since shortly after my birth in 1952. I realized that the Rose Festival was either going to be dramatically reduced or, according to Jeff, even eliminated during my tenure as their liaison. And that was unsettling on a number of levels. Jeff and I began actively working together and going from having a relationship where I received reports, thanked him for his work, to some sometimes difficult meetings where he and I discussed really the nature of what the Rose Festival is and does, where it's located, how it spends its money, how we attract people to come to various Rose Festival events, who those people are, and what we can do to change, if you will, what is the perception amongst Portlanders or was at that time. The result has been, from then till now, we agreed that they should sell their building that was on McAdam. That it was a huge financial drain. It was out of sight, out of mind. Nobody knew where it was, including the liaison to the Rose Festival from the City Council. And we decided to change all that. We decided to, instead of having the Rose Festival be this thing people think about in June of every year, to having a full-time annual presence that people would constantly see and constantly interact with and constantly have part of the Portland backdrop. So we took a building that literally was the focus more of the police bureau than it was of the parks bureau in the waterfront park that was full of dry rot, that was dilapidated, that we couldn't keep renters in, that we couldn't get anybody to rent, and reinvigorated it to its original 1948 grandeur when the world-renowned architect John Young designed it as the Portland Visitor Center. And we branded it the Portland Rose Festival Association. Through the unbelievable generosity of Ramsey Signs, who owns the Portland, Oregon sign, previously known as the Made in Oregon sign. They donated, contrary to some myths, they donated the rose that sits on top of it and installed it free of charge. They were so enthused by the idea of having this signature Portland event be in Portland's on Portland's front porch, as it were. And that, along with a number of other things that we did, I was fortunate enough to have Sam Adams be the mayor. The Rose Festival is being killed every year by permit fees, by fees from the police bureau, by restrictions on where they could or could not do things. So some of the issues that, Jeff and I discussed were of the Rose Festival's own making. Others were circumstances that the city created that were not of their making, that were causing them to literally financially strangle to death. Mayor Adams has been a wonderful and supportive partner in reducing some of the permit fees, waiving other fees, having the police bureau be more cooperative with the Rose Festival, which has freed up resources for them to invest in other activities. So to date, when most people thought of the Rose Festival 5 years ago, they thought maybe of the Rose Festival parade, the Starlight Run, and that was about it. And that was about it. Today, I have a calendar here for the upcoming year for 2013 that lists exactly 62 Rose Festival-sponsored events. 62 events. And I'm not going to go through each one, but I'm going to name a few of them. The first is the Rose Festival Open House on April 7th, which is 1 to 4 p.m. down on the waterfront. I encourage anybody that's interested in the Rose Festival to go see their wonderful building and take advantage of that tour. On May 20th, we have the Rock and Roll Half Marathon, which has proved to be a challenge, certainly for us to organize, but Jeff did it.
And Commissioner Leonard has agreed to run.
No, he hasn't.
He will have time to train.
There's only so much training you can do on a 60-year-old body. It's proven to be as challenging as it was fabulously successful. On May 25th, we had the grand opening celebration, which is about a week earlier than we used to do it, and fireworks down on the waterfront of the Rose Festival. And are we having Curtis Salgado again this year?
To be determined.
To be determined. So we've had Curtis the last few years open for us. On June 2nd, we have the Rose City Sing-Off, and to be followed by the Starlight Run and the Starlight Parade that night. On June 6th, we have the Fred Meyer Jr. Parade, which is, I know, Commissioner Fritz likes to walk in. I think one year I got a fire car to get you out.
Yes, you did.
You were late, and so I got a fire chief to respond.
That was my parade, I thought. Junior parade.
It is your parade. And so I was...
Well, that's right. We rode together.
Last year we rode together, but the very first year I wanted to be in it, and Commissioner Leonard asked one of his staff
Isn't
to help
nice
me.
To be
they weren't allowed to yes. put the lights on, which I was very disappointed about.
I would have told them to. On June 9th is the Grand Floral Parade. On June 9th through 10th is the Rose Festival Dragon Boat Races out on the river. Now, this one I want to help Jeff a little bit with, because on June 9th, there's also what he has entitled the Rose Festival Drag Races. Now, in Portland, you have to be a little more specific than that, because it conjures up a variety of images. So now this is actually in Woodburn, and it's at the drag strip. So next year I'd recommend you say Rose Festival Drag Car Racing.
Okay.
And then on August 3rd, we had the Rose Festival Foundation Golf Tournament, which is near and dear to my heart, that Jeff started, and they donate the proceeds of that, or partial proceeds of that, to the David Campbell Memorial Fund, which honors fallen firefighters. And then finally, on October 12th, is the Rock and Roses Dinner and Auction, in which they raise, they have a good time and raise a lot of money. I think it's also important, and Jeff is going to get much more in detail about this, but that the Rose Festival which includes the 36 sanctioned events and then the other events that I mentioned here, generates an economic impact of over $75 million to the metropolitan area. And you're going to hear more about that, not just from Jeff, but of the vendors who, and particularly Travel Portland, who are excited about that. So for an example, the Glen Floral Parade all by itself today, or in 2012, generated $29,459,000. The Rock and Roll Half Marathon, $14,600,000. The Rose City Fair, $10,850,000. The Starlight Parade, $8,500,000. So the Rose Festival is, I'm proud to say, alive and well, invigorated, has events that people of all ages now find entertaining and want to be a part of. And I couldn't be more proud than to turn this over to Jeff, who, in my view, has been the best director since I've been on council and probably even longer than that. Jeff?
Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor Adams, other fellow commissioners. My pleasure to be here today to culminate and ultimately say thank you. We've been on a journey over the last 4 or 5 years. And while we're going to introduce and talk about the economic impact, we're going to close today's presentation by giving you a real update of the financial status of the Portland Rose Festival Foundation, since that was the genesis for some of these difficult conversations that we had. And I'll tell you how it's going to end. Ends with a big thank you. Thank you for what you've done. You've made some very significant decisions that have made a difference. They've made a difference, and I think a model for the future. So I'm going to specifically go into some highlights, specifically on the economic impact front. We have not done a formal economic impact study since 2001. While we knew that we were drawing economic activity, people are staying in hotels, we didn't have a comprehensive independent study done. We did some updates in 2006. It was a product of funding, couldn't quite find the funding to do it. We ultimately made this a priority and commissioned the International Festival and Events Association, IFEA. They're a very, very well-respected organization with some 2,000 members worldwide that represent special events and advocacy for special events. They've created an economic impact model that we looked at and said, that's the organization we will use to develop an economic impact study using their industry-accepted models. We also used data from our friends with the competitor group, our partners with the inaugural Rock and Roll Portland Half Marathon. They used the School of Business at San Diego State University for collecting the genesis of the data. Ultimately, to provide today, what we are announcing is a big deal. We're publicly announcing $75.5 million return annually based on the 2012 study that we conducted, that IFEA conducted. So some research specifically, getting to the report, this is sort of the high level of this, not to go into too much detail. The research is basically focused on one-on-one interviews with attendees at several of those Rose Festival events that Commissioner Leonard mentioned. We also conducted an electronic survey of the thousands of participants from the Rock and Roll Portland Half Marathon. And we researched vendor spending and festival-related employment directly related to the Rose Festival activities. And last, we compiled direct spending from many large stakeholders, including ourselves, as we put dollars in by stages, tenting, all those things. Our competitor group, which is our partner with the Rock and Roll Half Marathon, Fantastic Shows, which is a Portland-based carnival company. Those are just three examples of data we use to ultimately collect and provide the comprehensive report that we have here today. So the results. This is where it really breaks down. Some things we learned. First of all, there's a dramatic increase from 5 years ago to hotel occupancy. I mean, it's apparent. It's dramatic. It's very real. Jeff and Lance will tell you a little more about that. The Rock and Roll Portland Half Marathon made a significant, dramatic increase in that. Over half our attendees live outside of Portland. They're coming here, they're staying, they're having restaurants, they're actually coming, I say outside the Portland metro area, and they're traveling here. It's part of their entertainment experience, and it's on their calendar based on the research that we asked. And they're coming from all 50 states and several countries. The Rose Festival is a global festival. It has global significance. And the most important fact that we learned, which was the purpose of the study, is to compile and get an independent analysis of where we stand economically, $75.5 million annual economic impact, a significant return for the small event that we, the small amount of investment that we do to produce the festival. And I'll go into the economics in a little bit, but we're extremely excited about this result and something that we're very proud of. Randy mentioned a little bit of a breakdown. I won't go into detail specifically, event by event, but you can see how it breaks down with the grand, from the Grand Flow Parade all the way down to the direct vendor spending, ultimately compiled to $75.5 million economic impact of the Portland Rose Festival activities. And our sources, a variety of them, mainly, like I mentioned, the International Festival Events Association. They have a model out of Texas A&M University School of Business. We're a source ourselves, providing them the necessary financial data. The competitor group from Rock and Roll and San Diego State University, specifically. So there's some relevant other facts as we get into the economics that I thought just briefly share in addition to the economic impact this morning. Last year, we delivered $109,000 check to the Parks Bureau, which is revenue directly from purchase of merchandise, rose-related merchandise at the Rose Garden store. Very proud. We've seen that number grow through good management, good support, and our partnership with Parks. We also annually put a little bit of money into the Parks Registration, Park Restoration, which is something that we do normally, but it's significant. We tear up the park when we go down there. We, you know, that's an end result of special events. We put money back in directly to the Parks Bureau to help them reseed it. But on top of that, what's not listed here is we made a generous contribution of $100,000 for a much larger comprehensive project working with Commissioner Fish and his team that will make the park suitable long-term for special events related to the SOD. And we pay an estimated pre-support, which Mayor Adams has generously led, for some city fee relief, $255,000 annually just in fees, generally speaking, to the Rose Festival. Parks fees, permit fees, things of that nature. So those are some economics related to what we do with the city, but specifically the point that we're really excited about is what does this all mean? And that's what I would say the affirmations of this study. The affirmations of the study are several. We've listed six in our presentation today. You're in all relate to how you've chosen to manage and look at the Rose Festival under Randy Leonard's leadership and Mayor Adams' strong support and all of you, because we've had some very honest discussions with all of you about this. But the official festival designation is relevant. It's relevant for the $75.5 million, what it does for the community. It makes sense. This is an affirmation of that, this study. It also answers the relevance question, because I've had very honest conversations with all of you about staying relevant. If you're going to invest in the Rose Festival in any way, we got to make sure we're serving our citizens, our community, and we're driving growth. And there's no better example of that than what we've done in the last 4 years, and I'll highlight the Rock and Roll Half Marathon as a brand new event with significant relevance to the organization. But we're also paying tribute to and respecting the traditions like the Grand Flow Parade. That's a significant contributor to the economic formula, if you saw that. And it validates the return that you do support us with, the support of the police officers on the parade route. There's reasons for that. It validates that. Smart reasons for support of the festival. And ultimately, I think it validates something else that we have not talked about in this session, that we should be part of Portland's strategic conversations. Special events matter economically and socially. I think this study puts that all into a great, significant package. Special events should be part of parks, streets, arts, conversations, and the Rose Festival is certainly part of that. And I congratulate Mayor Adams on the Portland plan. I think that there's some things in there that can help, and I think the Rose Festival can be play an even greater role in the strategic growth of this great city. And last, it embraces the community is embracing this festival, and we're a festival with global significance. So those are, you know, if you look at the 60-page plus report, this puts it in a kind of a snapshot. But it's enough for me. I've asked some special guests to come and speak to you about the Rose Festival specifically, about this report. I'm going to start with Jeff Miller, the CEO of Travel Portland. Jeff?
Well, thank you, Mayor Adams, Commissioners, Commissioner Leonard. I think you've come on an idea here. I think the Rose Festival has opportunity for two drag races, and I think we could get Darcel to support this. I think you've hit something
there. I would come out of retirement for that. Maybe
okay.
Even as a participant.
I'll run, too, if you will.
Okay, all right. A deal.
That I got to see.
Well, I'm very excited to be here to talk about the Rose Festival and kind of give you the broad context of the way we think about it in tourism. You know, a city like Portland has many, many brands. And a brand is really what people say about you, not what you say about yourself. And the Rose Festival gets people to say really good things about us. You know, from the Grand Floral Parade, the Starlight, the City Fair, one of our favorites at Travel Portland is Fleet Week and the Admiral's Breakfast, which we do every year for our membership. And we have the admirals come in with their wives. One of the admirals will do a talk on what's going on militarily in the region, and it's really terrific. It's a great way and a different way for people to engage with the Rose Festival that a lot of folks don't know much about, and we're really proud of that event that's been going on for many years. You know, you hear a lot about the brand of Portlandia, and I would say that it's a great, you know, piece of what we are. But the Rose Festival really, I think, started the brand of Portland. It's really about the community coming together, pride in the city, the joy in the kids' faces. I mean, that's a big piece of a brand, and I think the Rose Festival has managed that over the 100 years that they've been doing it. It also shows that it's a city that does its own way, because each of those events that Commissioner Leonard and Jeff talked about are incredibly important to different parts of the city, and it's very inclusive and very much a part of what makes us a great place to be. You know, when we travel internationally and domestically, we take someone from the Rose Festival with us to talk to the tour operators, because tour operators want to know, what are my folks going to do in your town? And the Rose Festival is an iconic event that really does get attention. It also then allows us to talk about the many other festivals and events. But you always want to take the best one, the biggest one, and the most important one. And that's why they go with us. You know, they've changed over the course of years, and it's been great to see that with the addition of new events and certainly the Rock and Roll Half Marathon. And I know as a retailer downtown, for many years we were very close to that because we were right on the parade route, and you can't imagine the excitement that happens on the street with the retail shops, because we knew it was going to bring in new people, new shoppers, and people to see the great energy downtown and our sense of community. We also host a familiarization trip of meeting planners who have the ability to bring conventions to Portland. We do that over Rose Festival weekend so that they can see the parade on Saturday. Why not show off your city at its very best? And they tell us, again, going back to the brand, they tell us what they think about the city and how exciting it is for them to see that. The Rock and Roll Half Marathon, we were incredibly excited when Jeff and Commissioner Leonard brought that to town. Kathy Koretz on our team has worked very hard with them to make sure we reserve those hotel rooms, meeting space. It's the economic impact. And I will tell you, I think runners are crazy. They will travel thousands of miles to run and beat themselves up, but they spend a lot of money on food, wine, retail, all those other things. And that's another reason why it's important to us at Travel Portland. We're going to continue to find ways to help them, promote them outside of the region, and certainly talk about the Rose Festival, but we couldn't be more proud of what Jeff and his team has done, the city has done to support them, and it's really the signature event, and it's the essence of who we are. So thank you for allowing me to talk today.
Thank you, Jeff. I'd like to have Lance Rose from the Portland Marriott Downtown Waterfront speak a little bit from his perspective.
Thank you, and good morning. As Jeff mentioned, I'm Lance Rose. I'm the general manager of the Marriott Hotel on the waterfront, and I should start out by saying I'm not making any commitments about running in anything, period, Jeff. But in addition to my role as a general manager of the Marriott Hotel there, I also have the pleasure of being on the board of Travel Portland and being the chair of the subcommittee on the citywide sales effort. So I'm acutely and intimately involved with all of these things that we're talking about this morning, as I said, on a pretty intimate level. So I want to just make a couple of quick brief comments that speak to the specific impact of the different activities of the Rose Festival and the Rose Festival itself. One of the, you know, really important things for any general manager or hotelier is to understand the demographics of its customer base in pretty much every aspect of the business, whether you're selling to a certain customer base or you're trying to provide services to that customer base in a relevant and important way. So understanding as much as you potentially can about your customers is critical to the success of our business. Jeff Curtis mentioned the word relevance in terms of the Rose Festival. And you would think that being on the waterfront, right positioned as the hotel is, that we would just automatically benefit directly from everything that would happen on the waterfront. And although we certainly do benefit, it is perhaps not as direct as you might think. And the reason why I make that comment is that the competitive nature of the hotel business, as well as the demand and supply equations, demand that we're very, very careful about the customer bases that we target and who we sell to, so that we're able to get the return on investment that the ownership group of the hotel is looking for. We recently in the hotel renovated and spent about $7 million on the lobby and the second floor of the hotel. And again, ownership's expectation is that the return on investment is very strong. And in order to get that renovation even accomplished, you have to be able to explain to the investment groups exactly what you're going to accomplish in the renovation, and then who are you going to target, what customer bases are you going to target in order to get that return on investment. As part of the design of that, we think we spend a lot of time in our business, and particularly in our brand Marriott, thinking about the customer profile or the demographic that we call the 24/7 achiever. And that is the customer that's in that, 25 to 45 demographic, maybe a little bit more educated, tend to be using technology at a furious pace and on a pretty much hourly basis, and want to work, play, and be active in exactly the environments that they want to be involved with. And they have the ability to be very specific and choosy about that. So as it relates to what I was mentioning in a broader conversation about demographics, the Rose Festival is relevant for us, and the demographics of the attendees of the different activities are very relevant for us. Within that body, we're able to target specifically those 24/7 achievers, as we call them, and price accordingly and sell accordingly to get those customers, that customer base, into the hotel. So the Rock and Roll Marathon is very, very important to us, as is the broader festival. Just a couple of numbers that won't mean a lot to you, but I'll try to give you a little bit of context. Over the Rock and Roll Marathon, we are able to see a spike in demand from a leisure perspective in the low double digits, so anywhere from 10 to 15%. But what's really important to us is that we're able to see increases in room rates of 20 to 30%. So, that sounds like a lot. It actually is in our business. Those numbers are big. Anything that gets you into double digits, whether it's on the occupancy side or the rate side, is very, very significant. And particularly on the weekends, where on the waterfront, we have the opportunity to drive more demand. The Rose Festival, more broadly, we see a combined impact of to the hotel, where we're able to drive additional RevPAR, revenue per available room, in the 10 to 15%. Again, a very significant number. I can tell you that of all of the demand generators that we look at, particular in our hotel, this provides some of the most significant numbers that we could even hope to be asking for. So I won't go on any longer because I know you have a lot of other things to cover, but we very much appreciate the support this city gives the Rose Festival. Appreciate Jeff Curtis's leadership, and it's certainly a benefit to our selling of the entire city, as well as the hotel that I run. So thank you.
Thanks for your service as well.
Thank you. I'd like to bring up We've mentioned a lot, but they're very important to the future of the festival, our newest event, related to the relevance question, related to what's new on the horizon. Friends from the competitor group who jointly produce the Rock and Roll Marathon to say a few words in particular about the Rose Festival and the Rock and Roll Half Marathon. Start off, this is Josh Furlow and Bruce Walton.
Welcome.
Great, thank you for having us, and Jeff, thank you for the invitation today. What started almost a little over 2 years ago when Jeff called our chairman and myself and said, we have an idea. We want you to come up to Portland, kick off the Rose Festival with the Rock and Roll Half Marathon Series. It wasn't even 2 seconds later we said, okay, we're up there, let's get this done. 18 months later, we completed the coursework. We completed all of the planning, all the expectations of what was coming around with the citizens, the community. And that work could not have been done without the help of the commissioners, Mr. Mayor, the police, the fire, the EMS, and all of the thousands of volunteers from the local community that helped us produce this event. So without that support, without that being done by the hard work of you guys, and especially by the hard work of Jeff and all of his staff and board members behind us, we would not have been able to contribute and help bring over 14,000 runners to the community from 14 different countries, from all states around the country. And the almost $15 million of impact that, as we were just saying and you were just hearing, our runners are crazy, but they love to spend money. And wherever we tell them to go, they will go. So as soon as we put that, Portland up on the map last year and turned the button to turn up for on sale, I called Jeff, said, we've got something here. We sold 4,600 registrations in the first day. Watch out, we're gonna have to sell it out for the first year, which we did. The good thing is we're coming back May 19th, which is the Sunday, May 19th for next year. And we're looking forward for the overall success of what it is. So Jeff, thank you so much. I mean, it's truly an honor to be part of the Rose Festival, and we would not be as successful as we were without the hard work of Jeff and his team.
And as Jeff Miller said, and Josh just said, I'm Bruce Walton, and our runners are crazy. There are crazies. We love them. They love Portland. And as Josh says, we're going to come back bigger and better next year. So thank you again for your support.
And we'll continue to work on it. We had over $100,000 raised for charity this year. And that's an important part of what the Rock and Roll Marathon Series is around the country and around the world. Over the inception of what the series has, we've raised over $270 million for charity, using our event as a massive platform for fundraising abilities. So on top of our charity staff and Jeff's staff, that is a big goal for us in 2013 here in Portland to increase those numbers dramatically.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your work.
Thank you. I'd like to complete our testimony with ask Todd Johnson, president of the Portland Rose Festival Foundation, and Drew Mihalik, CEO of Oregon Sports Authority, to join me. We'll start off with Drew to make some comments on behalf of his organization.
Thanks, Jeff. Good morning, Mayor Adams and City Commissioners. My name is Drew Mihalik with the Oregon Sports Authority. First, I'd like to salute the Portland Rose Festival Foundation for having the vision to recognize that a half marathon was a great way to add to the start of the Rose Festival, and for having the courage and the good business sense to partner with the Rock and Roll Marathon Series of competitor group to launch the half marathon this year. We couldn't have been more impressed with the inaugural Rock and Roll Half Marathon. With 14,000 people, it was just a remarkable achievement by all parties. We were proud to be a very small resource in supporting the event. Our mission is not only to secure events that impact our economy and quality of life, but also be a resource to events to maximize their economic impact and their quality of life. When I first heard about this event about 2 years ago from Jeff Curtis, my first reaction was that this was a brilliant idea. I wasn't quite sure whether the Rose Festival could really pull it off. But I did go to the event. I spent a lot of time in the finish line area, and I can tell you there were thousands of happy faces. It was just an incredible success. It really reflected well on the city of Portland. I didn't notice any glitches in the event, which was amazing for a first-time event and a tribute to the Rose Festival and to competitor group. So we're proud of the Rose Festival for becoming relevant again. we're proud of their return to prominence in the local sports industry. Obviously, their event was multiple years of preparation under Jeff Curtis's leadership. We commend them for that. And we want to commend you, the City Council, for supporting the Rose Festival, because you should share in its success, too, for the support that you've given to the Rose Festival, because it reflects very well on all of us who market the city of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for all the great work you do. Hi.
Good morning. Thank you for having us today. My name is Todd Johnston. I'm here as a volunteer and the president of the Portland Rose Festival. More than 100 years ago, visionary and determined Portland leaders created the Rose Festival in order to brand the city as an attractive visitor destination on the West Coast. Those leaders had already learned how valuable a major special event could be in attracting visitors and their dollars to the city, because they had just seen the success of the 1905 Lewis and Clark Expedition and its financial impact to the local community. Since 1907, the Rose Festival has continued to realize that original goal, and today you learn specifically on how much that impact was locally. It took vision and determination then, and it takes vision and determination now. You've all participated in that, and we can only thank you for that. As a CEO of a local business, we understand the importance of quality of life and the community that we serve. It helps in attracting new and empowering employees and retaining them in the local community. The Rose Festival showcases the best of Portland and only contributes to that element of the local business here. On behalf of the Board of Directors and Portland Rose Festival Foundation, I want to thank you for being a part of that vision and, even more important, a part of that determination. Without your recent support, it's doubtful the Rose Festival would be here today sharing this wonderful information. Thank you. I also want to thank Jeff Curtis, who's done an excellent job in leading us down this path. Jeff.
Thank you, Todd. So to wrap it up, we talked about the $75 million. That's the big announcement. But the other side of it is the economics of the Festival Foundation itself. What is our long-term prognosis? How are we doing? So I want to share that with you, because we've had those direct conversations with all of you. First of all, we produce this independently with a $4 million expense budget. Just get a tiny fraction of support from the city if through special appropriation under Mayor Adams' leadership. But we also get some services, police, fire, and those things as part of that. The return on that is $75 million. That is a really, really, really impressive return for what, from a public perspective, public resources, which are minimal. It's a private nonprofit doing this, not for anybody's individual good, for the good of this community. That's our mission, has been for 106 years, and this validates that from an economic standpoint.
I just have a question about that. The how much in city funding do you get total, including the waiver, the police and fire and transportation services, plus the special appropriation?
Annually, in 2012, we received a special appropriate with the special appropriation city amenities and the CBR fee, it was $95,000.
Total. Wave city fees.
Wave city fees.
Thank you very much.
Yes. So this graph gives you the story of where we were in 2007, 2008 from an annual operating perspective. You can see red, 2007, 2008, when we were having those serious conversations. We're proud to say, through your support, which includes the Rose Building down the waterfront, we've been able to, number one, invest money into the events to make them stronger, but also have a surplus position four consecutive years. We're not having the conversations that we had 4 years ago. Significant, and that's this council's direct involvement changed the tide. And what's most significant is we have a goal of $1 million in reserves. You can see when we started in 2008, in the blue line, we had nothing. No reserves. What that means is, should we had a major rain event, a major weather event, that there's nothing to pay the bills with in 2008, specifically in cash. Through the work of my organization, its board, its leadership, we're doing two things. We're halfway to $1 million goal of our reserves and cash position. Very significant point. We're not there yet. We still have work to do, but we're doing two things. We're building our reserves, and we're continuing to invest in the events and programs to make them bigger so more people can enjoy the Rose Festival. Again, the tide changed in 2008 under this council. So, Randy, as you leave, I hope you're extremely proud of what you've done, because this is evidence of that. Mayor Adams, as you leave, I hope you are significantly proud. This is an achievement, a significant achievement. And then Commissioner Fritz, Mr. Salzman, and Commissioner Fish, we have work to do, continued work to do, but you deserve a lot of credit for being part of the efforts and delivering this great news today. I want to thank you so much for your support of the Portland Rose Festival. That concludes our presentation.
Is there anyone any additional folks that would like to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
I move acceptance of the report.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion to accept the report?
Leonard?
So I get an annual report from Jeff and including his predecessors on the success of the preceding year's Rose Festival. This last year on the opening night, where's Jeff? There's Jeff. On the opening, I think that was the opening night, and I have, since we started this event on opening night, gone down to the waterfront, introduced Curtis Elgato, welcomed all the participants there. About 30 minutes before Curtis went on this last May, I parked my car across the river and had to run for cover in the local fire station out at the Hawthorne Bridge. I was born and raised in Portland, so I hope you appreciate the following statement. I have never seen it rain so hard in Portland, along with lightning and thunder. And I don't mean distant lightning. I mean it looked like the end of days. And the first thing I thought of was, wow, this is just going to ruin our revenue this year. And went down as the rain broke, dried everything off. Curtis came out, and I introduced him to about 25 people. Curtis Elgato, one of the best blues bands in the world. About 25 people were left, and I just dreaded the last economic update from Jeff, because I knew this work we'd been doing was slowly getting us into the black. We were slowly getting towards our $1 million goal, and they still made money this last year. They still made money, and it's because they diversified their activities. They don't rely as much on one big event. They have become relevant. People love going to the Rose Festival, and in spite of the rain, and we had a lot of it that year, and I've never seen, by the way, Jeff so frantic as he was that night, running around trying to figure out what to do to salvage the evening. But, Jeff, thank you for your work, and I am proud of what we've done, and it's been a great experience. Hi.
Fritz.
Commissioner Leonard, you are much to be commended, as of all of those who have testified today. This has been a partnership, and I thank you a lot. I'm not from Portland. I have grown to love the Rose Festival for multiple reasons. We just heard that the total appropriation from the city is about $95,000, and yet it brings an economic benefit of over $70 million. It even brings close to $400,000 in specific revenue back to the city. So for those who are wondering, why do we spend time on this, the reason is because it is an economic driver. It is a significant amount of time. And so sometimes we get comments from citizens about why are we spending time on it. I have volunteered to be the new champion for the council after Commissioner Leonard retires, and I recognize it is a lot of work as well as a lot of celebration. It's definitely worth it. And since we named the Rose Festival the official festival of the city of Portland in 2009, it has twice been named the best festival in the world. Is that right? Which is a significant achievement. Again, I also want to read from a testimony we received from Bill Manning, who is a professor emeritus with Portland State University School of Business, who was involved in the assessment, the economic assessment. And he comments on that, but then he goes on to say, I want you to know something about the significance of the social and emotional impact the festival has on our community. I am the only person to have the very unique opportunity to observe this impact in two distinct arenas. I cannot adequately convey the feelings of the people I interviewed during the parades. First, they view the Starlight and the Grand Floral parades as defining events of our community. The creativity, the joy, the pride, and the happiness they generate overwhelmed the emotions of these people. With 100 years of history, I heard story after story of family traditions related to parade going. They seemed to be the glue that brought many people together.
I was overwhelmed by the warmth of their feelings and responses. And having walked in the starlight and having walked in the grand floral parade, which incidentally, two folks in drag walk the grand floral parade, which is supposed to be for health, in 6-inch heels. Even I have never walked a parade in 6-inch heels. And it's quite the event. The starlight and the grand floral are amazing community building. You know, I walk the parades with my sign that says, "Hi, I'm Amanda, your city commissioner." And somebody yelled at me at one of the grand floral walks, "You're not my commissioner. I don't live here." And I said, "You're in Portland. I am your commissioner. Welcome to the Rose Festival." So it's something that does bring in folks from outside. I'm going to continue reading from the testimony. Second, the survey of past Rose Festival queens and princesses was even more revealing. Within the last 20 years, 97% of the women in this group graduated from college, 3 times the state average. Professions included ambassadors, fighter pilots, teachers, doctors, and business leaders. And 70% of these women still live within 50 miles of Portland City Hall, contributing their time and talents to their local community. A past Queen Victoria Dinu is still at many, many of the events, and so are many others of the court members. And finally, some courts' collective advice to current court members: congratulations, this is a once-in-a-lifetime gift, a unique and valuable gift like no other. I'm still grateful 37 years later. The Rose Festival is a class act, and Portland is like no other city. Embrace the citizens of Portland because they will embrace you. And indeed, I want all young women who are juniors and seniors to know that not only is this a unique opportunity, but it comes with a $3,000 scholarship and mentoring, and it's a program. It's not just the Rose Court. It's way beyond that. And I have had the opportunity of volunteering with the young women in the Rose Court. I'm very happy that that's still a very vibrant part of the program. And again, thank you to everybody who's here. Commissioner Leonard, this is truly a legacy. Aye.
Fish.
I want to thank my friend Jeff Curtis for all the great work that he does and his partnership with everybody up here, and Todd and the whole team. Congratulations. To all the people who volunteer so much of their time, and our Royal Rosarians, and everybody that helps make our city what it can be, a heartfelt thank you. And we think so highly of the Rosarians in my shop that we hired Leslie to be a leader of one of our bureaus. It's one of the things that is magical about Portland. And Randy's right. A number of years ago, there was a question about the continuing existence of this Rose Festival. So I want to thank Randy for all the work he's done. I can remember the earliest conversations when he said that it's nothing but upside. He didn't mention anything about lawsuits, recall petitions, and vilification in the press, but I was pleased. I mean, I think he concealed that from me. But I'm so proud of the partnership that has developed. And I'm very pleased today, Jeff, that you've made a compelling case for the business case for why this is a smart public investment to continue to support your good work. Thanks, everyone who joined us here today, and congratulations. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for your steadfast advocacy of the Rose Festival and for your turnaround skills. I think some of that credit belongs to Jeff Curtis as well, but it is a remarkable turnaround, and we won't sell you off.
And we
won't. We will keep it. We will not sell it off once you've reached profitability. We will keep you.
Oh,
you're our official festival. You're not going anywhere. So I'm really pleased that you've done so well. And Jeff, you've been a great leader. Great leaders always take good boards. And all the other ambassadors that speak highly of our Rose Festival and continue to keep it smart and attractive and relevant and our marquee event. So congratulations. Hi.
Adams.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for your great leadership. It's been a pleasure to work with you on a few things related to this. To the board of the Rose Festival, thank you for your service. It's a lot of work. I appreciate it. To the great staff team with Jeff and Marilyn and everybody, thanks for really working through some very tough financial years. It's just great to be here today and to see the great turnaround, and welcome to our new partners in a very Portland-like event. Not just very Portland-like, the official event of the City of Portland. Very pleased to vote aye. All right, you're welcome to get up and move around the cabin. I have to do some procedural things to get us back on track. So, Carla, would you please read items 1392, 1395, 1396? 1392.
Achieve 100% renewable electricity for city operations by directing the Bureau of Internal Business Services and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to facilitate a purchase of renewable energy certificates each year on behalf of all city bureaus. And 1395, authorize revenue bonds for the lighting efficiency program. And 1396, invest savings from LED streetlight conversion in system replacement and renewable energy.
Unless there are objections, I'm going to move these for further consideration to the council regular agenda next Wednesday so that council can have time to read the additional information that has come our way in the last 48 hours. So done. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1398?
Delegate authority to write down portions of loans in the Portland Housing Bureau portfolio in order to maintain a sustainable inventory of affordable housing assets and ensure continued public benefit to our community.
Call the vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Good job, Commissioner Fish. Aye.
Fish?
I want to thank Jacob Fox, Tracy Manning, Jack Graham, and Jack's team, and all the staff people worked tirelessly on this. And I also want to thank my colleagues who went above and beyond on this issue. When we first met with you, we didn't come to sell something. We came to discuss the concepts. And through those intense consultations came a better piece of legislation. And so I'm extremely grateful for the way that you helped shape what I think is a responsible piece of legislation that gives the Housing Bureau an additional tool to better manage our portfolio. So thank you. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Great leadership. Appreciate it. Aye. Can you please read the title and call the vote on 1399?
Authorize the 2012 Washington Park Transportation and Parking Management Agreement at Washington Park. Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
There has been a lot of discussion on this, and I appreciate the input and the problems with the process are documented in the record, including a submission today from Dr. Claudia Martin. So that is in the record. And what I'm going to say today is probably similar to what I will say tomorrow with the Northwest Parking Plan, that these plans are often very controversial. And the mayor has said often that we should not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And sometimes a public process needs to come reach a decision point, recognizing that decisions, especially of this kind of nature, can be amended. And in this particular case, the Transportation Management Association, the membership could be amended in the future. In the interim, there are now two members, one from each of the affected neighborhood associations, on the Transportation Management Association, and I appreciate Commissioner Fish for doing that. The Transportation Management Association can invite ex officio members to participate in the discussions, and I hope that will happen so that there are voices coming of the visitors in those discussions, and so there can be consideration of parking for events such as fundraisers that happen in the area in the evenings and on off-peak times that I hope will not deter fundraising organizations from using these great facilities. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your willingness to engage in this. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you, Amanda, for your kind words. And I want to just observe that after a pretty extensive set of community meetings, outreach, and process, I too have learned that there are always people that have significant questions about paid parking. And no matter how many meetings and no matter how many commitments you make, those concerns are not going to be resolved until you sit down through the TMA and actually start making decisions. And what I have committed through a number of meetings I've had with key stakeholders in the last few weeks is that we will listen, that we take seriously the concerns, and I appreciate the folks who actually came to my office, sat down, and put on the table a range of concerns. Some, frankly, very specific to their neighborhood, but others framed more broadly in terms of our whole city. And I am confident, I mean, I'm even more confident today than I was previously, that this can be successful because of the level of engagement that I have seen from neighbors and stakeholders. So I appreciate all the time and energy that's gone on to this, and I appreciate my colleagues' support. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
This issue is always controversial. It is always contentious. Nobody particularly likes it who's a customer. I get that. I also appreciate the commitments. And I do agree, commitments to continue to polish like everything this council does by the next council. And I appreciate Commissioner Fish's work on this. And I appreciate the neighbors who came in and testified and were able to make some additional changes to address their concerns. Aye. 1399 is approved. Can you please read the title for a 3 to 4 minute consideration? And then we will have VMC, and we're actually going to have the testimony first at VMC instead of staff presentations because we've kept you. So a 4 minute presentation and council consideration. Can you please read the title for 1397?
Authorized loans for the preservation of the Park Towers Apartments and Lexington Arms.
Commissioner Fish.
Well, thank you, Mayor Adams. I'm going to invite David Fuchs and Jacob Fox to come forward, take a seat. And as luck would have it, I have an introductory statement that lays out the key details of this transaction, and then we'll just have very brief comments from our esteemed witnesses and take any questions the council have. Today, we ask the council to approve an investment of $6.13 million in two buildings in the South Park Block's urban renewal area, consisting of a TIF investment or tax increment financing investment of $3.5 million and $2.63 million of our federal entitlement CDBG funds. The TIF investment continues the city's commitment to affordable housing. In 2011, council reaffirmed the policy that directs that 30% of our tax increment financing dollars are to be dedicated to the creation and preservation of affordable homes within urban renewal districts. Now, as my colleagues also know, in 2008, we launched what we call our 11 by 13 campaign. We identified 11 buildings with federal subsidies that were crucial for affordability, but were due to expire by 2013. And we committed to working with the owners and our partners to bring these buildings up to date and to renew the rent subsidies, ensuring that the buildings would remain affordable for at least another generation to people who call them home. Including the Park and Lexington, and with your support and by a total of $13 million of TIF investment, I'm pleased to report that we have preserved 600 affordable homes at 9 properties, including the Admiral Apartments across from Director Park, Chaucer Court on top of the Bike Gallery by the Downtown Library, the Roslyn Apartments at Northwest 21st, Upshur House, which is close to Chapman Elementary, Uptown Tower, which is close to 23rd and West Burnside, Walnut Park, which is roughly 7th and Killingsworth in Northeast, and the 1200 building, which is 2 blocks from the Portland Art Museum. City investments in the 11 by 13 campaign include TIF as well as federal sources such as CDBG and Section 108 loan funds. And the next two buildings in our effort are before us today. There are many reasons why we're excited about revitalizing and preserving these two downtown gems, the Park Tower and Lexington. First, these two buildings have been owned and operated by the Schnitzer family. And now, we all know that the Schnitzers had every right to convert these buildings at the expiration of the subsidies to market rate, or to turn them to condos, or to sell them as an investment. Knowing that there was an opportunity to continue affordability and provide safe and decent housing for low-income people in our community, they've taken what I consider to be the remarkable step of agreeing to sell the buildings to Cedars-Sinai. But first, the Schnitzers donated Park Tower to the Oregon Jewish Community Foundation, so the foundation would receive the proceeds from the tower's sale to Cedars-Sinai. This represents yet another shining example of the legacy of philanthropy to our community of Harold and Arlene Schnitzer, which is continued by their son, Jordan. Second, the residents of both buildings are senior citizens, and many of them are individuals challenged with disabilities. And they, as we know, as a group, are people who live on limited fixed incomes and often struggle to keep up with housing costs. The investment that I'm asking you to authorize today will allow us to keep over 216 older adults in affordable homes and will add services so they can remain in their homes and age in place with security and dignity. And this upstream investment also saves money by bringing services to older adults where they live so they can more successfully live independently rather than struggling on their own until they are forced to move to high-cost facilities that offer more intensive care at a much higher price. As we know, older adults have provided an enormous benefit to our community, and we have an obligation to make